The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions, but if you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email us your questions. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online, www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, without spaces. Or follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. And we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lundblad, the other medical doctors at the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, as are all of us, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't always see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I thought we'd start out the program this morning talking a little bit about some questions that people commonly ask about the eyes when I'm at dinner parties or cocktail parties or evening events or other things where conversation turns to profession and people say, oh, what do you do? Or I recognize you from the radio. I recognize you from TV. You must be that ophthalmologist, that IMD. And I say, yes, in fact, I am. And they say, well, I've always had this question or this I've always wondered about this. And so here we go. A few questions from cocktail parties, let's say. So first question, why do we see a spot in our vision after a flash photograph is taken? So you ever, I'm sure you've had that experience. Someone takes a picture of you. And then for the next 5 minutes after that picture is taken, you walk around, there's kind of a little pink spot or reddish spot or purple spot in your vision. And as you move your eyes around, that spot moves around as well. And it makes it a little bit harder to see depending what you're looking at. And it's almost like that flash picture left an impression on your eye or your vision. And in fact, that's kind of what it did. The way we see light has to do with the way the delicate photoreceptor cells inside the eye work. Photoreceptor comes from the Latin words photo, which means light, and receptor, which means to receive. And the photoreceptor cells receive light, and they turn it into an electrical impulse. There are two types of electrical or of photoreceptor cells inside the eye. And those of you who studied high school biology will remember that there are rods and cones. Rods and cones are the two types of specialized photoreceptor cells inside your eye. The rods are more sensitive to darker images when there's not as much light, but they only see in black and white. Cones see in color, but are less sensitive, so they don't work as well at night. So at night we tend to see things more in black and white. During the day, colors are more vivid when there's more light. So the way the rods and cones work is that there are specialized pigments inside these cells, and these pigments are light-sensitive pigments, which are converted from one state to another inside the photoreceptor cell. And then that causes an electrical impulse, and then that pigment needs to be regenerated. The pigment is regenerated through normal synthetic processes that your body goes through. It goes through these processes very quickly, and usually the pigment is synthesized fairly fast, but usually there's enough pigment there that it can deal with, you know, a lot of different types of vision changes. So if you go into a bright light, there's more light hitting your eye, more of that pigment is converting from the active form into the other form and then needs to be regenerated or reconverted back to the active form again so that it can receive light again. So often a bright light can be slightly blinding because it uses up these pigments and then it takes them a little while to regenerate. So when a flash goes off in your eye, wherever you see the flash, wherever the flash hits your eye, that area of the retina, that area of pigment, is temporarily bleached out. There's no more pigment there and it needs to be regenerated. And during that time that it's being regenerated, you don't see anything in that spot. So your brain kind of puts in just like a blank image, and usually that looks reddish or pinkish or purplish. Most people see that type of reflex when the flash has gone off in your eye. So you get a little bleaching of the pigment, has to regenerate itself, and that's why you have a blind spot temporarily after a flash goes out in your eye. Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got Mark standing by in Maui. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Doc? Quick question. Transitions lenses. I was looking at one. They're quite expensive. I think I was quoting like $500. What are they? And do you think they're worth that much money?
Okay, well, transitions lenses, there's several different manufacturers. And so the cost sounds like it's not just for the transition lenses. It sounds like you're getting maybe specialized lenses otherwise, maybe anti-reflective coating, other things, and that's all each of the things, each of the add-ons that you get is pushing the price up. So basically think about how you use your glasses. Transitions lenses typically are the types of lenses that when you go outdoors, they turn darker. And in the old days, you used to go outdoors and wait like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, and then the lenses would finally get dark. Nowadays, with the modern transitions lenses, they get dark fairly quickly outdoors, and they function essentially as a sunglass outdoors. And then when you go inside, within a minute or two of coming inside, they get lighter again, and they function as a normal glass indoors. So the nice thing about transitions is for people who feel more comfortable wearing sunglasses when they're outdoors because they like a little tint in their lens. They like to cut the glare a little bit. The transitions lenses work nicely because they allow you to wear the same pair of glasses to go from indoors to outdoors. So if you didn't get transitions and you want to wear sunglasses outdoors, then you're going to probably end up with two pairs of prescription glasses, a pair of regular glasses that are clear and a pair of dark tinted glasses that are sunglasses. So if you want to combine the two, transitions lenses are a good option. So when you're looking at the cost, you may want to think about that, compare that against the cost of getting two separate pairs of glasses versus one pair of glasses with the transitions lenses. So that's probably a good way to look at it. And also it depends how much you like sunglasses when you're outdoors. And basically when the lenses are tinted, it's just a matter of comfort. It's not that it's protecting your eyes anymore. The thing that protects your eyes is the ultraviolet light blocking part of the lenses. And as long as your glasses have UV light blocker in them, which sometimes is an add-on and sometimes comes with the lenses depending on what you get, then transitions are mostly a matter of comfort. So basically you have to decide what you want, what's most comfortable for you, and then you can look at what each of the add-ons costs and decide which one seems to be helpful for you. Another thing that some people like is polarized lenses. Polarized transitions are a little bit more difficult to come by. There are only a few brands that make those, and the polarized is nice because it cuts the glare a little bit. But again, you know, more expensive the more things that you put on there. Does that kind of help answer your question?
I'm getting sort of, it's for nearsightedness and farsightedness. It's like a progression thing.
Well, that's a different thing. That's called a progressive lens, or some people refer to that as a no-line bifocal. So for people who, when their distance vision is focused, they can't read, which is pretty much everyone over age 45 or so, then getting a progressive lens or a no-line bifocal helps you see both distance and near. Transitions refers to the tinting where it gets dark in the sunlight. So what you're thinking about, I think, is a progressive lens, which means that you get both distance and near in the same lens without that line through the middle that's typical of a bifocal lens.
Oh, but you can get one this combination.
You can get, right, so you can get a lens, I'm sorry, we should probably start from the beginning just so it's not unclear. So basically, when you're young, when you're under 40, if you need glasses, you can get one pair of glasses that has a single lens that corrects both your distance and your close-up vision, and you don't need to worry about anything else. Distance, close-up, all through one pair of glasses, all a single lens. As you get older, you lose the ability to focus up close. So when your distance vision is fully corrected, then your near vision or close-up vision isn't as good. And most people starting at about age 42 or 45 start to need correction of their near vision, especially when their distance is corrected. So if you get a pair of distance glasses and a pair of reading glasses, that's kind of humbug because you got to use one pair and then switch when you read and then switch when you're looking distance again. And so if you're watching TV and trying to read at the same time, you're constantly switching or moving your glasses around. So basically what most people opt for is a bifocal, which is a lens that corrects both far and close. Traditional bifocals have a line in the middle that separate the distance and the near portion of the lenses, and that works pretty well. But what works even better is a progressive lens, which is a distance through the top part of the lens, reading through the bottom, and then a progression of power through the middle part of the lens that allows you to see the middle vision, like computer screens and things that are in the middle range, not far distance or right up close for reading. And so those progressive lenses work very well for a lot of people to give them a range of vision if they can't see near and distance together. So if you're that over age 40, 45 category and your near vision isn't as good as it should be when your distance is corrected, then the progressive lens is a nice option. And yes, it's a little bit more expensive, but it it does more. Okay. That makes sense?
Thank you.
Okay, I hope that helps. Okay, aloha. Okay, so I hope that he finds something that works for him there. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about a few more questions that people ask at parties, and I will also talk about some of the eye news, and of course, we'll take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. And here we are in the second segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about commonly asked eye questions, or we're calling it questions people ask me at parties, and they realize I'm an eye specialist. They say, oh, let me ask you these questions about parties, about what we get at parties. Zero parties. If you missed something on the program today that you want to check out, go ahead and go to our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. Usually about a week later, you can find our programs posted there on the website, or you can subscribe to our podcast and get the programs as soon as they're posted online, usually less than a week after the program airs live. You can also catch us on Saturday evenings on sister station, KHBZ. All right, some other common eye questions. Let's see. It says, why do our eyes look red in flash photos? So another flash photo question. The last one was about why do we get that spot in our vision after someone takes a flash picture of us? And this one is, why do our eyes look red in a flash photo? Okay, well, that's an interesting one as well. And that has to do with the optical effect of shining light in the eye that's directly aligned with the observer. Okay, what do I mean by that? So if you're holding a flashlight and you shine it in someone's eye, the flashlight is off center at an angle compared to how your compared to what your angle of looking at the person's eye was. If the flashlight and your observation were exactly together, in other words, if that flashlight was right at the same point that your eye was at as you're observing someone's eye, what would happen is that the light from the flashlight would go directly into the person's eye and it would reflect straight back out toward you. If you're shining the flashlight normally, you're going to notice that the light is hitting the eye and you're seeing mostly light reflecting off the front part of the eye. When your flashlight is directly aligned with the eye, you're seeing light that is reflected off of the back of the eye, and the back of the eye is called the retina. So the retina is a vascular tissue. Vascular means has lots of blood because it's a very metabolically active tissue. That means that there's a lot going on, a lot of work that the retina is doing. And the work that it's doing is basically converting the pigment that we were talking about earlier, pigment into electrical images or light into electrical images to send back to your brain so that your brain can interpret vision. And so that retina being very metabolically active is very vascular, a lot of blood vessels. Those blood vessels and that blood give it a reddish hue, a reddish color to the retina. So when we look at the retina, it looks red. When you shine a light directly on the eye and you're observing it from the same angle and light is reflecting off the back of the eye, then that looks red as well. The only time that really happens in practice, in real life, for most of us, other than eye doctors, is that when you take a flash picture, the flash, to all intents and purposes, on a modern flash camera, single, instant camera, or digital camera, is usually lined up approximately with the lens of the camera. There's not a lot of separation between the flash and the lens. So as the flash goes off, light is reflected directly back, not just from the outside of the eye, but also from the inside of the eye. And the inside of the eye, as I just said, the retina has a red color to it. So what's happening is you're seeing the flash reflecting off the back of the eye, and it makes it look red. That's why people look like they have red eyes in flash photos. Now, there are a couple of ways that you can avoid the red eye, or what's called red eye reduction, which is what the camera industry has invested a lot in getting that red eye reduced, because most people don't like seeing red eyes in their pictures because that doesn't look normal. That's not how we normally see someone's eye. So there are certainly that can be digitally enhanced. The digital program or a computer program can look for the red image and turn that into a dark image or a black image and make it look more realistic that way. But in order to reduce that red image to begin with, there are a few things you can do with a camera. The first is you can separate the flash from the lens. And if you notice, wedding photographers and event photographers use these flashes that are some distance away from their camera. Sometimes if they're posed pictures, the flashes will actually be on the side of where they're taking the picture, and the camera just takes the picture from the middle. And so the flash is way separated from the camera itself, so you're not getting that red reflex. if they're moving around and taking pictures, they can't very well have flashes set up around the room. So they have usually an extension on their camera, which separates the flash from the camera itself. And by doing that, you can reduce the red reflex and get a more natural looking color or natural looking appearance to people's faces when you take pictures of them. And that's why people who do photographs professionally use specialized equipment to separate the flash from the camera itself, okay? So that it helps to reduce the red reflex. The thing that instant cameras camera makers have figured out is that if you make someone's pupil smaller, there's less light being reflected from the back of the eye, so that red reflex looks less. So they call that red eye reduction. So basically what they do is they give you like two or three different flashes. And the first two flashes, let's say, shrink your pupil because your eye responds to the bright light by shrinking the pupil, and it gives it just enough time to shrink the pupil but not enough time for the pupil to start to get larger again before it actually takes the picture and does the third flash, let's say, which is the one that actually illuminates the picture. So say there's two little flashes and then a bright flash, and the two little flashes are to shrink your pupil so that there's less light being reflected off the back of your eye. So if you do have a red reflex, it's a much smaller red reflex. And in many cases, it helps eliminate that red reflex altogether. So there you go, a little bit about why you get red eyes in photographs. Wow. Continuing in our series of things I get asked at parties, I have a couple of other ones that I thought of during the week. Let's see, here's one. Why is it hard to see indoors after we come in from a bright sunny day? Okay, well, that's a good one. And all of these things, all of these questions that I'm talking about today have answers which actually are similar in some ways. They're all related to the same physiology, but that's because that's how the eye works. So if some of you were listening a little earlier in the program, we talked about why you get a little blind spot in your vision after having a flash photograph. And the reason was that the pigments inside the eye are used up in order to allow you to see light. And when there's a very bright light, the pigments are used up more quickly. It takes a little while for the body to regenerate these pigments inside the eye and the rods and cones, the photoreceptors inside the eye. And if these pigments are regenerating, you don't see as well because the pigments are not in their active state where they can respond to light. So when you are outside in a bright environment, a bright sunny environment, it's just like having a huge flash photograph taken, except not only is that one central area where you're looking at the flash bleached out, but the whole retina is bleached out because the light is diffuse. The light is entering your whole eye, and it's causing the pigments to be used up inside the eye, and those pigments need to regenerate themselves. And so when you go into a dark room now from a bright exterior location, then all of a sudden all the pigments in your eye need to now regenerate in order for you to be able to see at a dimmer level, and that's called dark adaptation. And you go into a dark area and your eyes basically need to restore themselves, restore their normal function, so that you can then see again in a darker environment. And if it's only a little bit dark, that happens pretty quickly. If it's very dark, like you go from a bright room into a completely dark environment with only minimal amount of light, then that could take 20 or 30 minutes for full dark adaptation to occur. People who are in a situation where they, Navy personnel in the old days before they had radar and other electronic ways to figure out if there were other ships around, they used to do a watch on deck, and their eyes would, over 30 to 45 minutes, would become accustomed to the dark, and they'd see a lot better in the dark. And then if they'd light a match to light a cigarette, then the flare from the match would basically ruin their dark adaptation for the next 20 or 30 minutes, or at least decrease it because of that bright light bleaching out the retinal pigments. And so the dark adaptation can take a little while. It can take a little while to get fully used to the dark. Now, there are some people who complain that as they get older, that the that it's harder to get used to a darker environment. It takes longer for their eyes to adapt from light to dark. And I've heard this a lot, and I don't know for sure what causes it. I know that there are things that can cause it, such as cataracts. Cataracts can certainly cause reduced dark adaptation, as can several other conditions that affect the eyes. But many people seem to get it just related to aging, and we don't really ever figure out a specific reason why they have more trouble with their dark adaptation. People with glaucoma get this more commonly, people with cataracts. And so sometimes it is a sign of something else going on in the eye that can be treated, but sometimes it just seems to be related to, you know, getting older and being slower for those pigments to regenerate themselves. They just don't work as quickly. Maybe it has to do with some kind of nutritional deficiency. I don't know. Anyway, let's take a short break so that we can listen to the news. And when we come back, we're going to get to some of the eye news from the past week. And of course, it'll be time to take your calls. So think about your questions and go ahead and give us a call. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 75 degrees, mostly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. President Barack Obama is officially kicking off his reelection campaign today at back-to-back rallies at college campuses in Ohio and Virginia. He's told a crowd at Ohio State University the country is on the rebound from a deep recession and has come too far to turn back now. He says Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney would just rubber stamp failed policies championed by extreme House Republicans. A man who lost his son in the September 11th attacks is hoping the five men going on trial at Guantanamo will be executed. But Jim Riches says he knows that won't bring back his son, a firefighter who died at the World Trade Center. Riches joined other victims' relatives at Fort Hamilton in New York to watch today's military court hearing in Guantanamo via closed-circuit TV. The Hawaii Supreme Court yesterday decided the Waimanalo Gulch Sanitary Landfill will have to stay open past July 31st. The ruling was against the State Land Use Commission, which said that the landfill can no longer accept garbage past that date. The court said it would take more than 7 years to find and develop a new landfill. Law enforcement officials seized six gambling machines and arrested two people last night in a raid in Chinatown. It's the same building where police seized gaming machines at least two other times. The raid was prompted by community complaints of gambling and drug dealing on the property. And construction lobbying firm Pacific Resource Partnership introduced a website yesterday called BeNiceBen.com. That was in response to comments made by former Governor Ben Cayetano during a mayoral debate about U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye regarding Honolulu's rail transit project. Cayetano called Inouye out of touch. Island weather, mostly sunny today and breezy with a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 71. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 75.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes.
Well, we have a few news stories here, things that have been going on during the week related to the eyes. For those of you who like our sort of periodic nutritional supplement stories. We have a story here about some vitamins that have been evaluated in relation to how they affect macular degeneration. So there has been there have been some studies that show that dry macular degeneration is benefited from vitamins or a vitamin supplement containing vitamins A, E, C, and zinc. So what the researchers did was evaluated several of the vitamins in that group individually to see if one or another of them might uniquely by itself be able to have a positive effect on macular degeneration. So the headline here says vitamins E and C are no help against vision disorder. So it says here taking vitamins E and C may do nothing to protect aging eyes from macular degeneration, the leading cause of vision loss in older adults, according to a new clinical trial. Researchers have been hoping that the vitamins, both antioxidants, could shield against the tissue erosion that occurs in macular degeneration. The condition involves danger to the damage to the center of the retina, which may make it hard to see fine details. Studies have found that people who get more antioxidants in their diet have a lower risk of macular degeneration, but that doesn't rule out all other possible diet or lifestyle explanations behind that link. And so far, clinical trials using vitamin E have come up empty. The latest study is the longest running one to test vitamin E for eyesight in men, and the first to try out vitamin C alone, according to the researchers. It found no benefits of either vitamin in older men who took supplements for 8 years. No one study can be the final word on the vitamins in macular degeneration. On the other hand, the findings offer no evidence to support taking vitamin C or E by themselves to ward off vision problems. So the report appears in the journal Ophthalmology as part of an ongoing study of more than 14,000 U.S. male doctors age 50 and older. The men were randomly assigned to take either 400 international units of vitamin E or a placebo pill every other day, along with a daily dose of either vitamin C, 500 milligrams, or a placebo. That meant the men were either taking both vitamins, only one of them, or neither. After 8 years, 193 men had developed macular degeneration that was serious enough to interfere with their vision, but the risk was nearly identical between vitamin and placebo users. In the U.S., an estimated 7.2 million people have some degree of macular degeneration, and 890,000 of them have advanced disease, but the rate of new cases may be on the decline. A study last year estimated that less than 7% of Americans aged 40 and up have macular degeneration. That was down from more than 9% in research from the early 1990s. The researchers were not sure of the reasons, but they speculated that a dip in smoking rate could be one factor. Okay, so a body of evidence suggests, strongly supports cigarette smoking as an important cause of macular degeneration. So avoiding or quitting smoking, of cigarettes appears to be one way to lower your risk. Okay, so it says based on the current results of the test, they thought vitamin C and vitamin E are unlikely to be great advantages in the treatment of macular degeneration. So that's an interesting study because the other huge study with a whole bunch of people suggested that the vitamins A, E, C, and zinc were useful in reducing the incidence of macular degeneration. So maybe in those vitamins, there's something else, whether it's the zinc or whether it's the combination of all of them together that makes a difference. And so that study is being repeated with a large number of people with the addition of a few additional nutrients as well, including omega-3 fatty acids and lutein. And so we'll see what the results of that huge trial are. Unfortunately, it takes a long time to get good results on data like this because macular degeneration is a condition that develops over many years in people as they get older. And so you have to study them for 10 years or longer in order to really get a sense of whether there's a serious benefit on macular degeneration in some of these with some of these supplements. So the studies that are ongoing, there is data that comes out of the studies periodically, but this study that is looking at the formulation of vitamin A, E, C, zinc, omega-3 fatty acids, and lutein is still underway, and we don't have any real preliminary data from that, so I can't tell you whether that helps or not. We're going to go and talk to Dr. Stephen Rhee, who is a guest on this program from time to time. Dr. Rhee is an ophthalmologist at Hawaiian Eye Center and works with me closely with a lot of our patients and sees his own patients and patients who have a particular corneal disorder, since he's a specialist in cornea and anterior disease. Good morning, Dr. Rhee. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Chitara. I'm doing great.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Kinds of things do you have to share with us?
Well, this morning I wanted to talk about painless sudden vision loss. Every once in a while, we have a patient that comes in complaining, oh my goodness, I can't see anymore out of one of my eyes. And in fact, a few weeks ago, I saw a really nice lady, about 70 years old, who woke up that morning and we saw her emergently because she woke up and could not see out of her right eye. So we saw her immediately, of course, and whenever someone comes in with vision loss that's sudden and painless, I think, oh my goodness, what is going on? Usually from prior experience, prognosis typically isn't that great in some of the cases, so I was kind of worried about her. And things that run through my mind are, oh, could she have a retinal detachment? Could she have a vessel blockage inside of her eye? Could she have a stroke inside of her eye? And in those cases, typically the vision doesn't come back all the way. So I was kind of eager to find out what was going on with her. And in fact, when I saw her, the vision was not that great. She could barely see my hand moving in front of her face. The vision in the other eye was fantastic. She was seeing 20/20 with her glasses. But the right eye, certainly there was something going on. And when I looked closely, it wasn't any of those more ominous things. But in fact, she had a really dense cataract in that eye. And of course, the cataracts don't develop suddenly. Certainly, they don't develop overnight. But I'm sure what happened was her other eye, she was seeing so well. In fact, she had had cataract surgery in the other eye years ago. And she was seeing really well. And she was probably just dependent on that eye all that time. And that morning, for some reason, she must have covered her only good eye. I just happened to see out of the eye with a really dense cataract. And she thought, oh, my goodness, what's going on? So every once in a while, I do see that happening where a person would come in on an emergent basis and they have a really dense cataract that's making their vision worse. So we talked about it. We scheduled her. We did a cataract surgery, and she's seeing great, and she couldn't be happier. So that turned out to have a very good ending.
Well, that's a great story. And so hopefully people who are having any problems with their vision will take heart from that, that sometimes there are things we can do to really make a difference in people's vision, people's lives. So thanks so much for sharing that story.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, well, have a great weekend, and I'll see you in the office next week.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Chitara.
Aloha. That's Dr. Stephen Rhee, who is the sees patients in both our Hilo office on the Big Island and in our Wahiawa office in Central Oahu on Oahu, and in Wahiawa, and he is not only a comprehensive ophthalmologist, meaning that he sees a wide range of patients of all varieties. He is also a specialist in cornea and anterior disease. That makes him an excellent cataract surgeon, or he is an excellent cataract surgeon, and also can take care of all of your other eye-related needs. Sometimes when I'm not there, he's there, and sometimes when he's not there, I'm there. So it works out quite well to have two of us who are well-versed in all of the variety of things that we do. To take care of people around the week, the full week long. All right, so we're talking about some of the news stories that have come across my desk during the week. We have a story about a study that's being done on macular degeneration. We were just talking a little bit about macular degeneration, so there's some new work on macular degeneration using embryonic-derived stem cells, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes. But let's first go to the phone lines, because we've got Faye standing by here in Honolulu. Hi, Faye. Welcome to the phone. Hi. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. I would like to ask you about Aesop. If it's expired, the date is expired, it's done, like, say, February 13, 2012. Can I still use it?
Well, any medications that are prescribed or that are sold with an expiration date, and the expiration date is the date beyond which the manufacturer cannot guarantee the potency of the medication. So generally, it's not dangerous to use an expired medication unless it's been open, because it may not be sterile anymore if it has been opened or if it's really old. But if it's beyond the expiration date, what that means is you can't count on the effectiveness anymore. So we usually recommend only using medication that has not expired. So that's the best advice, is to use medication that is in its appropriate usable dates and that the expiration date has not passed.
It says 2013-12. That means it's on February 13, 2012. Isn't that right?
I'm sorry, what does it say?
It says 2013-12. That's the expiration date, right?
Well, if it says 2013, that probably means the year 2013, but I'm not sure what the 12 means. It doesn't sound like the form that the expiration date would usually be written in. The expiration date would usually be in the form of a month and a year, and sometimes a date, so it would say like December 31st, 2011 or something like that. It shouldn't. The way you're reading it, it doesn't make sense to me what date that would be.
It says 2013-12, so I figured it was February 13, 2012.
I don't know why it would say 20, though. So it could be, but you could check with the pharmacy and ask them to look at it, and they could confirm whether it's expired or not. So I don't know based on what you're telling me, unless I could look at it, or you could have a pharmacist look at it. Since they're usually available, you can just walk into the Longs or Walgreens or somewhere and ask the pharmacist to look and tell you whether the medication is expired, whether it's something that they prescribed or whether it's something from that you got as a sample from a doctor's office or something. Usually the pharmacist should be able to tell you.
This is medical, that company that mailed this medication to me. And I just wondered, I just opened it, and I said, hey, this medication is expired already. Why did they send this to me?
Well, they shouldn't have. It's possible. I mean, once in a while, I suppose their quality control could be an issue, but usually they check on those things. And so if they just sent it to you within the past few weeks, then it shouldn't be expired. But again, you can check with a pharmacist if you're not sure. Even if it's not the medication that they dispense to you, they should still be able to look at it for you and give you advice about that, because that's that's part of their profession. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Good luck with that. Aloha. Okay. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk some more about iNews, and we do have open phone lines, so if you want to give us a call, now's a perfect time, 521-8383.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
A brown-eyed girl.
welcome back, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're here on Saturday mornings, but you can find us on the web, too. You can subscribe to our podcast, get our radio shows right into your portable device. Go to HawaiianEye.com and click the radio show button. A nice button up there on the top left, middle under the picture, and that'll take you right to our archived radio programs and our opportunity to subscribe to the podcast. If you like what you're hearing this morning, tell your friends about us, let them listen or listen to the podcast, or check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. For those of you who like Facebook, go ahead and like us on Facebook. You can get access to special offers at Hawaiian Eye Center and, of course, get the latest news about what we're doing and what's going on in the world of eye care. So check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. Let's go to the phones now. We've got Kazumi standing by in Aiea. Hi, welcome to the program this morning.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Tortora. I am 62 years old of a Japanese ancestry, and for the last 5 years, I've been treated for my glaucoma with Lumigan. My concern is the last peripheral vision showed deterioration. There's two spots on both eyes, exactly an identical spot. And my doctor said, well, there could be some kind of error in the picture, so don't worry about it at this point. And I'm a borderline diabetic, and so I just wonder what could that be.
Okay, well, that's an excellent question, and you're right to be concerned. When we follow people with glaucoma to see if they're getting worse, the way we test them oftentimes is to test their peripheral vision or the side vision. And we test that with a machine, as you know, because you took it, but for everyone else who's listening, we use a machine where you look in a machine and you see little lights flashing in your peripheral vision, and you push a button each time you see the light flash. Of course, that machine depends a lot on how awake and alert you are. If you're a little tired or sleepy that day, you may miss some of the lights. If you're not looking in the right place, it may affect the outcome. If the technician hasn't set up the test quite right, that could affect the outcome as well. So there are a lot of different things that can affect the legitimacy or the reliability of that test.
Yeah.
So if we find something that looks abnormal on the test, and it's something that new is a little bit unexpected, what we usually recommend is to repeat the testing to see if that's true or not. And so usually if there's something that the doctor was a little concerned about, he'd usually have you repeat the test within a couple of months in order to make sure that there is, in fact, no serious issue going on in the eye. So that's the first thing is, do you have an appointment to redo the test?
Yes, I have. Now, my next question, I'm really, really scared to find out, what if this was something that is something.
Okay. Well, so basically what we do when we evaluate the visual field is we figure out, is your vision stable or is it getting weaker over time? And if it's getting weaker, that means that your glaucoma is not well enough controlled. So if the Lumigan drops that you're taking are not controlling the drops, the pressure in the eye adequately, the vision could continue to get weaker in the peripheral vision over time. Fortunately, the peripheral vision is affected, not the central vision, early on. So if we see those changes, then we do make a change in your treatment. So it may mean using a drop in addition to the Lumigan. It may mean a laser treatment. It may mean using a different drop instead of the Lumigan. Every doctor in every situation, every patient is a little bit different. So we decide based on what's going on in your particular eyes. But most commonly what happens is we say, well, that Lumigan may be allowing some fluctuation in the pressure. Maybe the pressure is still a little bit higher than the eye can stand, even with that medication. So let's add some additional eye drops or medication, or let's get a little bit of additional pressure lowering effect by doing a laser, painless laser treatment in the eye. And so that's usually the next step.
Well, my next question is, pressure of the eyes are perfect, almost too low. Now, so what else could be causing if there's a damage to the optic nerve?
Well, if it's what the doctor has to decide is it related to the glaucoma or is it something else? If it's related to the glaucoma, the actual number of the pressure is not always important. So some people are perfectly happy and their eyes do fine with a pressure of 25 or 30, which is high.
Yeah.
And some people, even with a pressure of 10 or 12, which is low, still go on to develop damage from glaucoma. So just the pressure reading itself, the pressure number, doesn't always give us the information about whether the pressure is too high or too low. That's why we need to do the other tests as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Tora.
Okay. Good luck
and
with that.
And you have a good day. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
You too. Okay. So with glaucoma, you know, there's a lot of experience that goes into the treating of glaucoma, actually, because there are a lot of different ways that glaucoma can affect the eyes. And in some people, they can have glaucoma for many, many years and never develop any serious problems in their eyes. For other people, we can do everything that we possibly can think of to do to control or treat the glaucoma, and still they go on to develop worsening or weakening vision over time. So one of the things is that if you're being treated for glaucoma, that you want to make sure to be as consistent as you can with the use of eye drops, because that helps to control the problem. And the second thing is that if you're not sure, or you feel like your doctor is not sure, then there's always the opportunity to get another opinion. Now, oftentimes, a single snapshot, like if you go, so let's say a lot of times people come to me because I'm a glaucoma specialist, and they say, I'd like another opinion about my glaucoma. And usually, from examining the eyes, I can't tell them too much about how the glaucoma has been affecting their eyes over time, because I'm only seeing a snapshot. I'm only seeing a one-time picture of how their eye looks. And so from that, it's very difficult to tell with glaucoma what's going on. And the reason is because glaucoma is a progressive condition over time. So we really need to see not just a snapshot, not just a single picture in time, but we need to see a pattern or a series of pictures or snapshots over time of how the eye looks. So we need to know what the pressure has been doing. We need to know whether the peripheral vision or the visual field has been changing. We need to know whether the optic nerve, the appearance of the optic nerve, is changing over time. So oftentimes, when you go for a second to seek a second opinion about glaucoma, the doctor can't always give you an answer right away. They need to get some historical data. So they may have to get records from your other doctor and review how things have changed over time in order to be able to give you an idea of whether the glaucoma in your eyes is progressing or holding steady. Sometimes it's fairly obvious. We look at the eye, the pressure is high, the nerve is damaged, the people are complaining about a weakening of their vision, there's a clear history that things have been getting worse, and then we know that the glaucoma needs to be managed more aggressively. More has to be done to control the glaucoma. If we go ahead and find that sometimes that in looking at someone who's had glaucoma for a number of years, that we can't really tell if there's been a change over time. Sometimes that requires getting that historical data I was talking about, going ahead and getting information about how the eye has been doing over time in order to get more information about whether the glaucoma is progressing or changing over time. The really prepared people actually show up in my office and say, I want another opinion about glaucoma, and here are all my records from all the other doctors that I've been to see. And then in that case, I can often get a real sense of how things have been going over time and whether they're changing over time, or whether there's any concern, any cause for concern over time from the glaucoma. Well, we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Will and Mike for helping out here in the studio. I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. If you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, you can email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions over the air. For those of you tuned into social media, you can go ahead and tweet us your questions, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, with no spaces. Don't forget to check out our website, hawaiianeye.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. And Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the Neighbor Islands, call 888-621-2020.
Rush Limbaugh,
America's real anchorman, the truth detector to Dr. Democracy.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHVH, Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.